The Lord be with you. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to John. Jesus said to his disciples, "Peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you. Not as the world gives, do I give it to you. Do not let your hearts be troubled or afraid. You have heard me tell you, I am going away, and I will come back to you. If you loved me, you would rejoice that I am going to the Father, for the Father is greater than I. And now I have told you this before it happens, so that when it happens, you may believe. I will no longer speak much with you, for the ruler of the world is coming. He has no power over me. But the world must know that I love the Father, and that I do, just as the Father has commanded me." The Gospel of the Lord. St. Bernardine of Siena once asked the question of why God lets people fall into sin. Why doesn't God just intervene and stop it? Why does God let people fall into sin? Well, I hope you understand that whenever we talk about why God does anything, the reasons they're always infinite. But he does say something helpful. He says there's four lessons you learn falling into sin that you would never learn any other way, or it would be very, very difficult for you to learn any other way. The first is humility. King David fell into big sin with Bathsheba, and for the rest of his life, he knew that he was not strong, and he knew that he was not innocent. Lessons he might never have learned any other way. So the second thing you learn is compassion. Because as soon as you fall into sin, you're very reluctant to paint somebody else with the same brush of which you've been painted, right? When you fall into sin, you're very reluctant to condemn somebody else for falling into sin. And that lack of condemnation makes you very much like Christ. Bernardine of Siena says, that's why Jesus put St. Peter at the head of the church, who'd fallen three times, and not St. John the Beloved. He says, the third thing you learn after falling into sin is fervor. Because you never love God more than after he's forgiven you of your sin, witness Mary Magdalene, for example. He says, the fourth thing you learn, or at least you're invited to learn, is prudence. And he tells a story of how a donkey, after falling into a pit, will never fall into the same pit again. He's very careful about what steps he takes. And I can say this as much. If you've fallen into a big sin, at least you know what leads to it, right? You're very, very careful about taking that same step again. Four lessons you learn. After falling into sin, part of the reason why God allows it. And the reason why I mention that is today, Jesus says to his apostles, "Peace I leave you. Not as the world gives peace do I give you peace." How does the world give peace? The world just declares peace, right? They just declare a treaty. And then they say, "Hey, peace at last." And you know quite well that that's not peace. Because if discontent and resentment, if war continues to rage in people's hearts, it's only a matter of time before that war breaks out into the open. But when Jesus said, "Peace I leave with you," you might know he would have used the Hebrew word shalom. It's a great Hebrew word. Because shalom doesn't mean the absence of conflict. Shalom means healing. Shalom means completeness. Shalom means well-being. And one of the interesting things about shalom is that it's only possible as a consequence of a fight. We tend to idealize the saints, but we forget how much they fought to become saints. St. Vincent de Paul, for example, the great saint of the poor in the streets of Paris, fought his entire life because in his heart he loved prestige. Vincent de Paul loved honors and titles and offices and ribbons and medals and money and all the things that money can purchase. He fought his whole life to learn how to love the poor. It was a struggle. Or Damien of Molokai. Extremely sensitive to criticism, Damien had a very thin skin. And we all praise Damien, you know, the great saint of the lepers, and isn't it great what he did, and he died among the lepers. We forget Damien was criticized heavily during his entire life, and he had to learn to keep his eyes on the Lord, to have a thick skin, pay attention to what matters. Or Bernardine of Siena, who I just named. Bernardine of Siena loved comfort. He loved a warm pillow and a warm blanket. So God, in his providence, put Bernardine of Siena at the head of a hospital where there was nonstop emergency and trauma and sleepless nights and infectious disease, the very opposite of what Bernardine himself wanted. And he had to learn. He had to learn through a struggle, and in that struggle, we discover peace. We discover shalom. Catherine of Siena says that this world delivers the opposite of what you expect. It's a paradox. The whole thing's a great big paradox. It delivers the opposite of what you expect. If you try to find your peace in worldly things, you're going to have fun with friends and enjoy yourself, and you're going to take trips, and you're going to eat and drink and be merry, and you expect that you're going to find fulfillment. She says, you're going to find emptiness. You expect that you're going to find peace. You're only going to be restless. But if you run towards the one thing that the rest of the world is running away from, namely the cross, which means placing yourself at the service of somebody else at your own personal expense with no hope of returning, getting anything back in return, much to your surprise, you'll be surprised by joy. And you'll find the peace that the world can't give. So I say all of this to remind you not to be discouraged if you struggle and if you fail. Especially if you struggle and you fail in your attempt to follow Christ and you fall into sin. Your fight to repent can be part of God's plan to make you strong and to give you the peace that the world cannot give. Amen.